Ah, the Schaffenfest. Truly a wonderful celebration. Every spring, folks from all over the Reichland flock to the town of Bogenhafen for that delightful and most entertaining Schaffenfest. Schaffenfest might not be the greatest celebration in the Empire. The cities of Altdorf and Middenheim, of course, have far greater galas and festivals. But for the local folk, there is nothing better than the Schaffenfest. After all, it is a wonderful intermingling of society. Both the nobility and the peasantry can enjoy a day of festivities and fun while making themselves a little bit of money on the market trade. Sadly, I do not think I will be able to attend this year, for I am a very busy man. But if you are in the area, I do recommend checking out the Schaffenfest. You never know what wonders you may find. This is Red Moon Roleplaying. Our brave heroes have finally arrived in the town of Bogenhafen. It is the middle of the day. They have all taken to the town itself and found the biggest main street they can, which isn't difficult. The Haufenstrasse does run all the way through the town to the east, to where you assume the Schaffenfest is. After all, the festival would not be in Bogenhafen. It would be far too raucous and not have enough space. No, you would know that it would be just on the outskirts of the town. Still, Siegfrieda, you were on the lookout for landmarks, and on this big main street you do see a few. You pass through what is known as the Gottenplatz, which is clearly a central part of town with an awful lot of temples. The biggest temple, of course, being the one to Sigmar. There are several others here as well. Also, just before you get to that location, you would have noticed a very large steepled building which looks like the town hall. So you are definitely, you all feel, heading through the big center of the town. It doesn't take long to see what looks like a big eastern gate, currently guarded by a couple of soldiers. And beyond that, you think you can see many colored tents, many pavilions. That must be where the Schaffenfest is being held, just outside the east gate, heading out of the town.
I am finding my breath taken away. Again, I don't know how much of this is down to infant memory and how much of it is based on what I've read. And so, you know how it is. Sometimes you read something enough times that you convince yourself you were there or that you've seen it. And I've read about Bogenhafen enough now to feel quite at home here. And that is unsettling in itself. I point out these locations and describe them to my companions. I point out the temples, I say. If any of us are feeling particularly devotive, the Grand Temple of Sigmar will, I'm sure, take our coin. But likewise, it's a good place for protection. If we find ourselves hounded through the streets and we have no place to run, few would dare shed blood in the walls of a place like that. We always have the recourse to drop the ruse that we're maintaining and state exactly who we are to get people off our back if we need to.
I did want to ask, are you allowed to open carry in Bogenhafen?
Of course you are. This is the Empire.
Then yes, I will be, I believe the term is, strapped.
Indeed. No, maybe a temple or two might have a thing about that, but in the lands of the Empire, of course you need to be armed. You never know when someone's going to try and murder you.
Indeed. You always have to be prepared. Well, I'm sure the temple would take our coin, but perhaps we'll just explore the Schaffenfest, huh, and see what kind of enjoyment awaits there.
Well, yes, exactly. Heinrich, you've been champing at the bit, it seems, since we got on board that boat to start testing your dueling skills. I've been trying to sleep sometimes when you've been prancing around on the deck, creaking wildly and thrusting into the night's air with your blade. So why don't you stretch your arms and legs now that we're on solid ground again and find someone to strike against? Could be entertaining. Might earn us a few more coins.
First of all, it's a lunge in advance, not thrusting. Ugh. And second of all, already ahead of you.
Sounded like thrusting to me.
You would also notice Kruger, I think, being the one who would be most familiar with this, that there are, of course, several other temples, not just to Sigmar, but also Myrmidia, which is a little unusual. That doesn't normally have temples, at least in the Empire. More Stalia and Tilia, that god is worshipped. Temple of Shalia, Temple of Ulric, of course, Temple of Arena, even one you're not too familiar with, although if you look in that direction, you'd actually be familiar with this one, Heinrich, because that is a temple of Bogenhauer. Bogenhauer being the patron saint of Bogenhafen. So, of course, that particular temple would be nowhere else in the Empire. It's very small.
I'm of the belief that the temples can have whatever money I have left after enjoying this festival.
Of course, and you'll begin making your way through the Gottenplatz, heading along a street apparently known as Nullner Weg, which begins leading to the East Gate. You will notice a few more general things, of course. To the south, you do notice, past the temple district, there do seem to be a lot of high-rise buildings, almost arranged in some sort of ring. Maybe that's a noble quarter, or some sort of quarter where lots of people are very wealthy. Meanwhile, to the north, things dramatically decline, becoming a lot more mundane, single-story housing, that sort of thing. Still, you make your way to the main gate. And finally, you see the Schaffenfest. Granted, you can hear that the Schaffenfest seems to be in many other places than just here, but you think this is the bulk of it. There's a great deal of tents, pavilions, people running about, elves, dwarves, halflings, humans. Again, even an ogre or two. Everyone is very busy, and everyone is very happy. There's some music playing from some bards somewhere. There's definitely someone running around with a streamer. There's even a young halfling carrying around a big placard on her neck. Not too uncomfortably, you hope. Waving a bell saying, "Hear ye, hear ye! Mutual proclamation shocks the Empire! Hear ye, hear ye! Come to me! One bronze for the news! One bronze for the news!"
The news, that could be good too. Have, given that we have been away from things for a while. I'll move up and pay the coin to hear the news. What is it that's going on?
The halfling girl gives you a big wide smile, takes your copper piece.
"Hello, mister. What do you want to know first, then? Lots of news today, lots of news. Do you know about there's a sale just down the road there? A finest pork tam?"
I'm more interested in what's going on in the Empire. What are the big happenings right now?
Oh, lots, mister. Mutant proclamation. That's got everyone abuzz.
Mutant proclamation. What does that mean?
The Emperor has proclaimed that mutants don't exist.
Oh.
And anyone who is persecuting someone for being a mutant, that's now a crime. You can be hung for that. And everyone who says they're mutant hunts and all that, mutants don't exist. Isn't that good news? I always used to think, my mom always used to say, be careful of mutants, but they don't exist.
Well, that's a relief, isn't it? That they don't exist.
It really is, mister.
That's big. So what kind of consequences is that had? Is there anyone who's lost their jobs or what?
Well, I don't know. A lot of people seem really angry about it. I don't know why. Saying things like that's nonsense. Or one person was like, mutants destroyed my farm just a year ago. I don't know. It's strange. I don't know. Why would people be happy about that?
Well, that's fascinating. Anything else?
Oh, yeah. There was a great expedition to the Grey Mountains. A disaster.
You don't say. What happened to them?
Oh, apparently the Crown Prince is dead. Half the expedition are dead. His father is really unhappy. Which makes sense, because it was his son, and he was a Crown Prince, and, you know, that's quite bad, isn't it?
I look to Siegfried and to Heinrich. Well, I guess we were lucky to be late.
Or maybe the three of us being on that expedition could have changed the fates.
The only thing worse than a Crown Prince being dead would be the three of us being dead, so dodged that crossbow bolt, didn't we?
Yes, well, crossbow bolt might be the wrong term to use there, given that we've certainly found a few others, haven't we? Well, that's very interesting news, but does rather... I shoo off the small person. Does rather cement in mind our current plans, doesn't it? It's not like we can just catch up with that expedition late. Not that we were talking about it, but that was going to be our primary form of income initially, and then we decided to habit upon this great deception. Beyond that, we don't really have anything else unless we all want to work the river, and that doesn't seem like a career path I'm quite fit for.
I suck at the river, right, Heinrich? You can tell me.
Oh, it's awful. Watching you is physically painful. I'm glad we're off the boat.
Heinrich, something does stick in your head, though. This proclamation. Mutants don't exist? I mean, that's not true, is it? You literally just had to see a dear friend of yours put down because that's exactly what he was.
I understand completely. I don't think it's my personal responsibility to set the record straight in the Empire. Certainly not with the halfling town crier. But, I don't know, it seems ill-omened. Heinrich is not the kind of person who interrogates these things in the moment, but disastrous expedition, mutants don't exist, two things that I've been proximally involved with while en route to deal with the third thing, I'm going to bury those thoughts down in the don't think about it place.
I think I'm trying to do much the same with that news. Wow, mutants don't exist? That doesn't make any sense. Why would the Emperor say that?
He would only say it if people had reason to panic about it. You don't come out and say, oh no, the town's not on fire, don't worry about it, unless the town is on fire and you don't want people to panic, you know?
What do you think, Siegfried? What would be the logic for denying facts like that? Who would do something like that?
Well, I suppose the question is who stands to gain from it? We are doing something similar, aren't we?
I suppose we are. I suppose everybody's lying about something. Some things bigger than others.
Come on, let's get out of this thoroughfare. All this talk of deaths and conspiracies is, it's going to set us back into the same paranoid state that I was when we arrived, and I have been for the last week.
You're right. Let's have some fun, all right? And then we can act on this affidavit and, well, everything that we have. We'll do that after we enjoy the Schaffenfest for a bit.
Well, not only am I interested in watching some of these Schaffenfestivities, I would also like to sample some of the alchemists, physicians, and such like who are prevalent in this place, whether it's market sellers or permanent stores. It would be interesting to compare some notes, maybe pick up some experimental medicines that I can study as we travel. Obviously, being mindful that most people who will come to the Schaffenfest to sell goods are going to be charlatans. But, you know, even they come with a certain level of fun.
Indeed, and as we move through the Schaffenfest, I can't help myself but to keep constantly an eye out for someone who might be following us. Pickpockets, I see threats everywhere, and I think I will find myself not being able to enjoy myself as much as I actually wanted. It's very sad.
Well, if one of you wanted to ask a little for some of the sights, why doesn't someone make a gossip roll and see how well you do?
I don't know if I'm the best at it, but I'll give it a shot. I think I'm the loudest, most indiscreet, and most curious of the group.
Give yourself a plus 20 as well, because it is a festival, and it's quite common for people to be asking where are things at a festival.
Then I have 3 success levels on that gossip roll.
Not too shabby. You will learn quickly, Heinrich, that yes, if Siegfried wants to look for medicine shows, there are several, especially to the south. A great deal of doctors and physicians and herbal sellers are gathered around quite a few stalls. And of course, Siegfried will immediately notice that, yes, several of them have such professional names as Dr. Zeus's Wonder Tonic Sales and Genuine Norskan Silver Talismans, which all sound highly suspect, but maybe there'll be something of interest there.
You will also learn that there is indeed a joust taking part to the east, although you will learn quickly that it's not really something that common folk are supposed to just wander over to. In fact, it's nobles only. So while you can go and look, you don't know if you'd be able to take part, unfortunately. Still, that's happening. There are some other melees occurring for the slightly lower class. But still, if you're interested, Heinrich, that could be something. There's also, of course, several places to get food and drink, several places to watch a show, and finally, apparently, one page seller tells you that there is a very interesting menagerie show happening later today. She says, she can't remember the name of it, but something interesting. Zookopia? A complicated word, she says. But she does tell you that's apparently very exciting.
I will return to the group, only having wandered a 15 or so feet off, collecting various playbills, if those exist, and thrusting them into people's hands. When it comes to the nobles, I'm not going to let that sign stop me, because I can't read. But as for the rest of it, should we play stone parchment cutting shears to see where we go first? It'd be really be a bit unwise for us to split up.
No, I'm happy to take your lead. I'm not so compelled to visit anywhere. I say I'm still looking around rather frantically. Not moving my head so much as just shifty eyes. No, I'm quite happy to follow you wherever you lead us. I'm in no huge rush.
Yeah, that'd be fine. I'll follow wherever you want to go, Heinrich. And I too am keeping an eye out. I just can't help myself. It's just all coming back to me. We are being followed. Why can't I forget about that?
If you want, you can make a perception check, Kruger. No modifiers here, though. It is a busy place, which actually makes it easier for you to be followed.
42 under 43.
I mean, you keep looking around, but you just don't see it. No strange, suspicious-looking people with crossbows, anyway. I mean, there are a lot of people here. A lot of different classes. You see nobles, you see peasants. Everyone is running around the place. You even notice far to the south what looks like a great deal of cattle shows. Lots of people clearly are here for the trade of cattle, which makes sense. This is a trade festival, after all. But otherwise, no. You do notice that occasionally there are some people watching you in a very official capacity. They look like watchmen, but they have a slightly unofficial look to them. It would occur to you, with your background, that the answer to why they look a bit unprofessional is that some of them are probably volunteers for the day. This isn't really the purview of the watch. You're outside Bogenhafen, after all, but they do need someone. So you do notice that this festival is being watched by some law, even if it's a bit more lax than the town itself.
Well, that is good, then. I'm not usually one to feel safer when the law is around, but in this particular situation, I do appreciate that there are eyes on, well, what is going on. I try to calm down a little bit. I don't know how well I fare with that, but I look to Heinrich. So where do we go?
Well, I am not the logician among us, but it makes sense that if I'm going to go swinging a sword, we should save the doctor bits until after that, yes?
Exactly. That is what I would describe as logical, yes.
I nod.
And as the phrase goes, make hay while the sun shines. And I'll lean in a little closer to the two of them. Look, we only know two things for sure at this point. One, every time someone has tried to kill us, it's been dark and the streets have been empty. So two, now that it's light out and crowded, I think our odds of being ambushed are as low as they're going to be. So let's just have a tiny smidge of fun before the sun goes down and we have to go back to all the... And I'll make a gesture of putting a ring on a finger. Bit.
I nod at that.
Absolutely.
Well then, and I'll give them both an overly enthusiastic clap on the back, very three musketeers pushing them towards the direction of the melee. Onward, friends. There's glory to achieve.
Well, glory for you to achieve. We'll just cheer you on, I think.
Then all three of you begin heading off towards where you've been told there are some melees. In the far, far distance to the east, you can now see what looks like the jousting rings, although immediately you do notice it's a little distant from the rest of the festival. You can see pavilions, And indeed, armored knights getting their horses ready and beginning the noble act of the joust. Although, again, that's slightly further away, and you can see the perimeter is guarded. Much closer to you, on the other hand, are some more common arenas. Simple areas, fenced off, circular. There seems to be a boxing area with a very large 7-foot-tall man, very beaten up, taking on challengers. But to the left of that, there is a smaller one which seems more your thing, Heinrich. There does seem to be someone with a sword. He's taking someone out with another sword. Not too bad, not too bad. And indeed, there is a better, and there are crowds nearby cheering the victor, booing the loser. What do the three of you do? You found yourself in a melee-based area? There's also beer on hand from a stall.
Yeah, a drink might calm my nerves a little bit. We're safe here. I'll go and grab a pint. Do you want something?
I will have a beer as well, quite happy to.
Heinrich, in the most serious voice you have ever heard come out of his mouth, says, I don't drink when I work.
Of course not. You shouldn't. Just get two, then. And I'll go do just that, then. Get a pint for myself and for Siegfrieda, and look forward to see Heinrich get to work.
Well, two of you go to get yourself a cheap ale. Doesn't cost much, just a copper piece. It tastes not too bad. Sort of a mild hint of apple to it, which is interesting for an ale.
It's pretty good, I say to Siegfrieda.
Yes, like the kind of thing you would only be able to pick up at a festival like this.
Meanwhile, Heinrich, you go to investigate, I assume, the melee circle as opposed to the boxing.
Oh yes, I have many questions about my opponents. I want to study every single move. The way that Siegfrieda looks at books or dead bodies or live bodies, the way that Kruger studies an unguarded purse, that is the level of attention I am paying to this fight.
Well, then you come over and you assess your potential opponent. It seems to be the man who's just won is reasonably tall, long black curly hair, dressed in some very fancy looking clothes. Although, granted, they're the fancy looking clothing that someone who can't actually afford fancy looking clothing wears. They have a fine beard and they are happily dancing around with their wooden training sword, which of course is what you'll be using. You won't actually be drawing your proper blade. This is a friendly event after all. But using that little wooden rapier, he is happily moving around with a bit of a swagger.
Would I be able to roll intuition to get a sense of how skilled he is? Or could I roll a melee skill, since that is what I'm studying?
I'd like intuition, I think, for this one.
13, that is 2 success levels.
He might not be bad. He might not be great. I don't think he's going to kill you in a few moves. You also quickly at that point inquire with the ringmaster what the rules are, and apparently it is 2 strikes. You're obviously not actually trying to kill each other. It's all about the showmanship. 10 silvers currently on this man. He's won the last 2 fights.
That was my second question. How much are we allowed to bet? Because assuming that the other 2, once they have drink in hand, will meet me at the edge of the arena, I will break from watching the melee to say, you want to earn some money?
Always. Of course, we'll bet on you.
Oh, it's more than that. And my eyes take on a little conspiratorial tone, because I'm going to need 2 things. 1, I'm going to need all of our coin to gamble, and 2, I'm going to need a hype man. Because my thought here is we can talk him up. I'll look a little ratty. We'll see if we can get the odds tilted in our favor. Put all of our money down on the underdog. And I cock my thumbs at myself. I'll go in, make short work of him, and walk out with heavy coin purses and happy hearts.
That sounds like a plan. I look to Siegfrieda.
Well, best of fortune to you. We'll put some money down.
One thing you'll be aware of quite quickly is currently the prize is sitting at 10 silvers. You aren't going to get too much more than that. Most of the people watching the game are going to be betting copper pieces, maybe a silver maximum. You might be able to get up a little higher, but you think pushing it too far would be risky.
What do you think, Kruger? Do we have confidence in our duelist companion?
Of course. We believe in you. I say to Heinrich, and I have a very big smile on my face.
I can't tell if it's genuine or not, but my brain assumes that it is. It's just like telling a dog he's a good boy. I'm absolutely 100% like, oh, thanks, buddy, about it.
Yeah, I'm only depositing coin with the bookies once he's out of earshot. I don't want to hurt his feelings because, you know, if we have full confidence, we might as well bet the bank. I've got 8 silvers or thereabouts that I could put down, but I'm not prepared to go all in. So if Heinrich heads off to prepare, what do you think, Kruger? 4 silver? That's generous, isn't it?
Probably a good idea to not bet too much, but we did get quite a lot of coin, or at least I still have some left. I think you made a lot of the purchases on our account previously.
I did, but I don't particularly wish to run the risk of losing it all so soon after earning it. I'm not really used to having much coin on my person. You'll have to excuse me if I'm a little protective over it.
Well, no risk taken, no gain possible, right? So, look, I'll put down 10. I have 20, and let's see how this goes. We have to believe in Heinrich, right? We have to believe in our friend.
I think 10 silver is fair, and I'll watch how you do.
And not for nothing, I have a bit more silver, so if the betting allows it, I have 20 that I will split between the two of them so we can up their bets a little more.
You will sadly find that the ringmaster looks at you a little surprised and does sort of cough and say, "Now, sir, you have to give other people a chance. 10 silver is the highest. Come on, you can't be just out-betting people. We're not nobles here."
I was trying to split it up to avoid the max bet, but that's fine. I won't push too much on it. Then it's 10 for each of us.
Still, that takes it to betted a gold crown, practically.
Maybe we can. Well, in that case, if there's a lot of murmuring and mumbling about, well, this is a bit too much money. I'm not a so terribly social animal. I want Heinrich to feel confident, and I want this gambling enterprise to go well. I'm going to have a quick look around. Is there anyone enjoying the events who is dressed in noble garb or who looks like a wealthy merchant who might have an entourage or something like that?
You might spot a merchant or two, but you will notice that definitely no nobility here. Your eyes will go to the jousting arena and you'll see the distance. Many over there, not here, but there are some people who could put down a few more silvers, definitely.
I'm going to tell Kruger, I'm going to be right back. Make sure that the fight doesn't start. And I will dart through the crowd to the merchant. Excuse me, sir.
Oh, hello, young lady. How are you? Happy Schaffenfest?
yes, I bide fine. I bide fine. The reason I'm here, the next fight that's coming up is going to be quite an event. And I assure you, I give my word, in view of the Temple of Sigma and his baleful eye, I'm not in any way affiliated with the bookies or the house, as it were. So, with that said, there's a fight coming up. These two duelists, I'm given to understand, are some of the greatest in the land. Heinrich, in particular, he has travelled a long way, all the way along the River Bogen, to get here for this melee. And I have to say, sir, that the betting around this place is dreadfully dismal, incredibly low. Probably because, well, most of the people in attendance are peasants, not like yourself, sir. The reason I came to you is I saw that you're a man upstanding and wearing finery. I wondered if you and maybe some of your friends might like to make this betting a little more interesting. Put a few more coins in the pot, increase the winnings, probably for yourself, more likely than not, or if fate turns the other way for the others, but You know, I want to encourage this young duelist, sir, well, both of them, in fact, and liven up proceedings a little. What do you say?
You make an interesting point, although I don't know. Are you sure about this fellow? That fellow in the ring, he's a Bretonian, don't you know? They're very fancy when it comes to the dueling and all that. I hear, anyway.
And that's, sir, is my point. You have completely identified why I came here, because both of these, one an unknown, one a strong Bretonian, I think this fight could go either way, and it should be an exciting event where the crowd are cheering for one competitor or the other and are placing their savings down on the victor. And right now, it's a dribble of coins. When valiant fighters like these come out to put their lives on the line for our entertainment, surely the silver shillings need to turn into gold crowns.
You are going to need to make a roll. You are going to need to roll at least a fellowship roll. Do you have any skill you'd like to add on to that? It could be charm, it could be haggle, it could be... Gamble is intelligence, but I'd be willing to let you roll that if we were trying to maybe, you know, be intellectual about this.
Siegfrieda talks a good game, but she is also prone to being overly wordy, tripping herself up, and basically losing the person she's trying to convince of something. So when it comes to the schools of charm and haggling, she is by no means an expert. Luckily, when it comes to gambling, she does have a bit of a skill. She has developed some knowledge in that regard. So I will happily roll against my gambling.
Very well, then. In that case, we will say it's not that you're being persuasive, it's more that you're actually using your own intellect to explain the gamble. And to be fair, if he wins, it is a good gamble. So please roll.
Oh, okay. So I have rolled a 12 against my skill of 48.
Well, with those success levels, you're able to convince this man to indeed back your fellow. It works like this, of course. There is a prize, which the winner wins. Apparently, you've actually just joined at the final bout, so you would might be able to just get that prize straight off. But of course, there'll also be the money that goes back to the bettors. Due to your success, not only will the winner receive a gold crown and 10 silver shillings, but everyone who bets will receive double their money back. In the case of you betting your 10s, 20 silvers.
So we're looking at 60 silvers in total. If Heinrich wins, so I'll give the merchant as warmly as I can a smile and a shake of the hand before sterilizing my palms and making my way back through the crowd back to the group. Okay, you can fight now.
And so, thanks to Siegfrieda, you will notice, Heinrich, that indeed a merchant does start speaking with some friends, and there's quite a crowd that gathers. A lot of people betting money. Again, a gold crown and 10 silvers for yourself, 20 for your friends. It should also, of course, be a little more than that, but you very quickly realise that, of course, the ringmaster is taking about 10-20 silvers for himself. Otherwise, he'd be making no money at all. But still, not bad, not bad. How are you feeling, Heinrich?
Every single copper is coming to people who deserve it. Mostly me.
And so you are led into the arena, being bigged up as a fine challenger from... The guy leans in. So, what's your titles? Who are you? What are you?
No titles. Heinrich Schilf needs only the blade. With zero self-awareness as to how cheesy that sounds.
The crowd cheer nonetheless. This is a simple crowd of... simple folk, and this is very entertaining. You do hear suddenly a much louder cheer coming all the way from those jousting rings as the horses meet, and for a moment perhaps you wonder if that's what awaits you in the future, something far grander than this little fight. But for now you have your opponent. This man looks at you, he bows his head.
I am Philippe Descartes. Heinrich, is it? No titles. How impressive.
I speak just a little Bretonian, just the phrases that came from the dueling books. So I will regale him with a proper Bretonian greeting.
He raises an eyebrow in surprise and remarks, "Him a bit of Bretonian himself," translated to "surprising," and then back to Imperial as he says, "Well, it seems you have some manners. Most around here do not. But I am afraid I will be taking that money. I am most looking forward to it."
"We shall see." And then I will bow and draw the wooden practice sword, preparing for what is going to be the bout of the day.
So as we begin, what is your initiative?
35.
Then you are surprised to see that this man is quick on his feet. You, of course, are quick with your weapon, but he's using the same weapon, meaning your speed advantage on this occasion is not going to be in effect. Also, for the sake of this fight, you are using a simple wooden rapier, so none of those deadly advantages will take place here. But at the same time, you also don't need to worry about actually getting hurt. You're only going to get bruised here as opposed to run through. At least you hope so.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's this get bruised? I'm not letting him touch me. This is going to be cake.
Then he will attack first. The time has come for you to make an opposed test. He will be attacking you with his weapon skill, of course. You can attack back, trying to get a hit in now, or you can dodge. Depends on what you think you're better at. What do you do?
There is no glory but to go forward. I will meet blade with blade.
How many success levels do you have?
21 under 51, so 3.
He is quick, quicker than you, and yet you're ready for him. Tell us how you managed to get the first blow in.
Overconfidence is a killer. He said, "Oh, it is surprising that you are actually competent," and I let that lead him into a false sense of security. So I have my blade out in guard, but I'm letting it sag just a little bit on purpose to bait him into a higher strike. And once he's committed his momentum to that, it's a simple matter of then letting the full force of the blade rise up, parrying his off, and then driving the point straight forward to draw against the breastplate.
Granted, in this case, he doesn't have a breastplate, but that's fine, because that means your wooden sword hits him in the chest, but only just. You are, after all, just marking each other. And mark him you have. The crowd give a cheer of triumph, although some people do groan. Not everyone was betting on you. The man looks at you with a mild hint of annoyance, but only mild. What do you do next? It's technically now your turn.
On the back of that surprise, I'm going to push full forward into advantage. It's not enough to beat him, I also need to embarrass him. So for my move action, I would like to use Distract, which is athletics versus cool. It stops the opponent from gaining advantage. I don't even care about that. I just want to show everyone watching who is in charge of this fight.
Well, he's certainly not going to gain advantage himself, although currently you are at advantage. You're plus 10 to this, and you'll have another plus 10 due to your brave charge forward.
44 under 69 with 2 plus 10s, so 2 success levels.
Well, unfortunately for you, as you charge forward attempting to finish this all at once, he actually sidesteps quite deftly. Very deftly. You actually overextend yourself for a moment. He backs off, but he does give you a bit of a look. You aren't going to embarrass him. The crowd does cheer in excitement. This is actually far more exciting than they were hoping. You have failed to rob him of his advantage, but that was just your move. Does that count as your action for the go? That distract?
No, that is just the move action, and I'm happy to provide a little flourish whether it works or not. He can be smug that he has avoided distraction, but we'll see how smug he feels when the rapier comes crashing forward.
Indeed, and he, of course, will meet you once again head-on.
That is a 93. I would like to re-roll that.
You certainly can spend a fortune to do so.
And I shall. That is significantly better for 3 success levels.
There is a flurry of activity. As you go forward, he parries. He parries again. You realize that maybe you should stop focusing on showing off and really actually focus. This man is not easily dealt with, and you will not be embarrassing him today. But tell us then, when you start actually being serious, how you get your second blow.
The clash of wood back and forth is a chance to embarrass him, yes, but failing that, the constant onslaught requires him to be on the defensive, and I can see how he tempos when he wants to block left, block right, how he's moving his body to keep the flow of his defenses moving forward. And that is enough time for me to lull him into a pattern of it. And then as he expects me to come around for the next left strike in the sequence, I instead pirouette on the sand, allowing me to come in from the other direction, and the rapier's backhanded. It'd be an illegal move in any kind of formal setting, but here, all that matters is marking him. And that's when I land the strike against just under his armpit on the right-hand side. And at this point, I'm also a little mad about him being so flamboyant and not allowing me to embarrass him, so I'm going to put some heat on that. I'm going to leave a bruise.
And you do so. And the crowd cheer in excitement as you get your second mark. He backs off, frowns a little, and indeed the ringmaster calls out, two marks to the winner, Heinrich, Imperai, and everyone cheers as you have won this bout. What do you do, Heinrich?
I will bow to my Bretonian friend in the very formal way that I have been taught, and then in Bretonian say, there's always next time. Then turning, raise the wooden rapier above my head, cheering with everybody, but specifically making eye contact with Siegfrieda and with Kruger.
Yeah, I told you he would do it.
Yeah, I'm clapping. It was easy to get caught up in all of this. Congratulations, Heinrich. Very well done.
And indeed, the crowd cheer as the man takes you outside to give you your winnings. Again, you're lucky. There are no more challenges for the day, unless, of course, you're willing to come back tomorrow. But who knows, maybe that's not needed. Or maybe it is, we'll find out. As you leave the arena, the Bretonian does come over, takes his glove off, frowns a little, and then does extend his hand to shake yours. Well, you were clearly trying to show off a little, but when you actually put your mind to it, you are good. Very good. One must be, humble in defeat.
Your skill is a credit to your master, and I am grateful to have crossed blades with you. And I'll reach out and I'll firmly shake his hand.
If only I had not had two fools before you, I might have been slightly more better at my game. But never mind. Never mind.
Unless I'm interrupted, this is the first duelist person I've met who was not my master, so I will launch into shop talk as long as he'll let me and as long as Siegfrieda and Kruger don't pull me away.
He doesn't mind the shop talk at all, actually. He established that he is indeed Bretonian. You'll actually very quickly learn that isn't it quite rare for there to be Bretonian duelists? After all, it's Bretonia. Your knight's there. And he won't go into full detail, but you will get a little bit of detail that, yes, it's rare, and yes, maybe he doesn't want to talk about it, because maybe in Bretonia it's not actually looked upon very highly. Which would make sense to why he is here.
I'm not going to press. Instead, I'll be asking about the technique and where did you learn to do that particular maneuver, and this is how I managed to do that. Very, very much two merchants meeting at a tavern to describe how they rip customers off, but this time about the fancy arts of dueling. Very technical and precise and with an honest ear towards picking up tips.
And he will be happy to talk with you. And you will establish that this man is going to be around for some time in the town. And if you wish to talk later, he tells you one of his lodgings. And yes, he actually doesn't seem too sore at your loss. Seems like quite a carefree kind of individual, even if he is a little bit snooty. But that's classic Bretonian for you. Meanwhile, Siegfrieda and Kruger, you are now the proud owners of your choice. You can have 20 silver shillings, or you can convert it to a gold crown immediately. Up to you.
So is it 20 shillings per crown?
Yes, 20 silver shillings equals one golden crown.
I don't want to have a whole bunch of jingling coins, so I'll take a gold crown.
Yes, you never know when you might need to bribe someone with something heavy, so let's all have a gold crown each. As we have earned 60 silvers as a result. Well, obviously we had to put down 30.
Indeed, and of course you, Heinrich. One gold crown and 10 silvers.
I'll keep the crown for myself. I'll take the 5 silvers and pass them to my friends. My gift for your confidence.
No. You earned that. You keep it. We have more than our fair share of just being your cheerleaders, I promise.
Oh.
I'm glad you didn't come away injured, otherwise you would have had to have deal with my real support, which comes at the end of a knife or needle.
I'm not so generous as to keep trying to talk them out of letting me keep the money, but as Siegfried makes her comment, I will, with a smile, but still a hint of seriousness, you're going to have to wait a little longer to carve me open.
Well, let's hope.
Now then, to celebrate, yes?
I think a slap-up meal, maybe some pies? Let's find a good tavern. My travelogue tells me that there's a place near here, although it may have fallen to pieces in the last century. I guess we'll have to find out.
And so you begin making your way back from the Schaffenfest, asking where is the nearest tavern? The nearest tavern, of course, other than the beer tents, is the Journey's End Inn, which is just back in town, just a little south, like a 10-20 minute journey. As you begin making your way back, you do come across a scene. There is the sounds of rotten fruit hitting something, and you will look and just see, just as you're making your way out of the Schaffenfest by the walls, some children are throwing rotten fruit at a dwarf, you think. He is currently clapped in irons in a good old-fashioned stockade. He has a sign around his neck saying vagrant and drunk, and is currently murmuring very pitifully as these children throw rotten eggs and rotten fruits at him. What do you do as you walk past this scene?
I despair, because as I grew up, we never had enough food to let it go rotten to just throw at vagrants. The wastefulness of this act is, well, it's appalling. That they have so much waste in Bogenhafen that they can just afford to throw it at dwarves for amusement, that appalls me. You know, not to mention the entire dwarf suffering, but you know, that's less of a bother on my mind. But I stand there, I fold my arms and I shake my head, tutting at the children.
Some of the children do turn to look at your party, and two of them run off straight away, looking a little scared or caught out. Although one of them just looks at you a little more, wearing a little blue, very nice embroidered shirt. He has an awful haircut, like a pudding bowl. And he looks at you and grins, and then gets ready to throw another apple at this poor dwarf, who is murmuring to himself, "Oh, please no, oh!"
I'm going to attempt to knock the apple out of his hand, or grab it, before he can launch it.
You do so, you dart forward, he's only a child, and you quickly grab the apple from his hand. The boy looks at you. What do you do, Siegfrieda?
I lower myself, so I'm at his head level. I don't need to lower myself far, I'm not a terribly tall individual. "Excuse me, young man."
The boy looks at you, tilts his head.
"Yes, miss. What's up? I'm just having fun."
"Do you know why your skin is so pale?"
"No."
"It's because you're not eating enough of these," I point to the apple. "And if you don't eat your apples, eventually your skin is going to grow so thin that it separates at your joints and you'll be covered in welts. Eventually, you'll be in so much pain you won't be able to move without someone carrying you and wiping your behind, which someone may already do on your behalf. But this," I point to the apple, "is better used to supplement your growth than as a means of torture." At which point, I push it towards his mouth. I don't expect to just jam it in. I don't think of myself as a bully, or certainly someone who's going to assault random kids in well-embroidered shirts. But I am I'm expecting. I've given him a lecture. I've given him a lecture on good health care, and he's damn well going to listen. No, I mean, my next lecture is due for this dwarf who's probably emaciated his own liver, but that's a story for another day.
You move to just shove this fruit towards the boy. He catches it. Granted, as you said, you weren't actually going to try and force it down his throat, so that's not that surprising, although it's still a little bit odd. He's only a child. It's a very quick grab. He grabs the fruit. He looks at you for a moment. He smiles. A very wide smile. And then he throws it. And as he throws it at the poor dwarf and it hits him with a splash on his face, he says, "You're funny."
Oh, that's enough to get my temper up. I will, in that case, advance on him with a fury in the way that adults do to children. Don't let me catch you doing this again! I don't actually intend to grab him by the collar or kick him in the pants or anything like that. I intend to just advance menacingly to scare him off.
He withdraws, but not in fear. He just begins skipping off, laughing to himself.
"And your haircut looks like shit," I shout after him.
And so this boy disappears into the crowd. Kruger, Heinrich, what did you make of that scene? A little odd. But then again, maybe that was just a very unpleasant brat.
What a nasty little boy.
Yes, I'm sorry I lost myself there. I hate to see food being wasted.
Tell me all about it. It's, oh, it's dreadful. I almost ended up in one of those ones.
In what?
It was the stockade.
Oh, yes.
Only once.
Might have been more than once, but, hey, I didn't end up in it. It worked out in the end. I learned from that. Faster next time.
Learned how not to get caught. I give him a little knowing nod.
You all hear a groan coming from the stockade. Oh, please, help! Just a little. I only had a little drink. 2 silvers, they'll let me go. Please.
I'm sorry. Were you put here by the law of this town?
Yes. 2 silvers. I haven't got 2 silvers, but they said 2 silvers, or they'll let me go.
Oh, so they have arrested you, and they will free you if you pay them?
Yes, fine!
Oh, this is everything I read about this dreadful trench of a town. Come on, boys, let's just break the luck on this thing.
You do notice, as you are there, Kruger, that a nearby watchman is watching you.
Oh.
I will gesture towards the watchman. We are being watched here, but we were very fortunate before. I mean, not that we need to be making a habit out of helping random people that we pass by, but this does seem to be rather, well, an unfortunate situation, very unfair, and if nothing else, I mean, might be nice to do a good deed before, you know, what we're supposed to do later.
I raise a hand. Are we sure we're willing to bail this person out before we know what they did to get arrested?
Only a few drinks, just a few. Please, sir, be so kind.
I can translate. He has a... See that placard around his neck? The words on it tell us that he was arrested for vagrancy. He's been drinking, as you can probably tell from the odour. Look, as you say, we're flush with coin right now. We might as well pay for his freedom. As you say, we shouldn't just go around helping every beggar and prisoner that we find. But at the same time, I swore an oath long ago that I'm not going to be party to someone's suffering or death. And that's what I would be if I just walked by here. It's not like we lack in silver coins, is it?
No, it certainly isn't. It's only 2 silvers. A standard fine, really, for this sort of thing. You do believe the way it works is that if no one pays the fine, he just would remain there for the entire day and evening and be let go in the morning. But Still quite a long time to be in some stocks.
Well, and my knowledge of such things is that as the evening goes on, the rotten fruit gets exchanged for fists and worse, and guards often don't intervene when people start molesting and assaulting individuals trapped in the stock, so I'd rather see this person get out and find a place to stay before night falls.
I'm happy to press one of the silvers into Siegfried's palm, but making a point to say, right, not party to any suffering or death.
Sometimes things are more clear-cut than others.
Of course, I'm just investing in the bank of Siegfrieda waits until I'm deceased before conducting her experiments.
Well, exactly. I'm not going to help you die unless you ask me to. Otherwise, I will assume you want to live.
And so you'll begin discussing among yourselves, and eventually handing over the 2 silver shillings to a guard who grunts a little, does say, all right then, if you want to look after this bloody stinking, individual, good luck to you. And he will release the dwarf. One thing is for sure, the Schaffenfest is so far proving to be very entertaining. You all feel in good spirits. Surely nothing will happen to sour this mood.
You have listened to an episode of Red Moon Roleplaying, where we play the legendary campaign The Enemy Within for Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay 4th Edition, published by Cubicle 7. In this first part of the series, we are tackling Book 1, Enemy in Shadows. Joining us as players in this series are none other than Aaron Hammonds from Queen's Court Games and our dear friend Matthew Dawkins. The music was made by Flowers for Body Snatchers, Word Clock, Metatron Omega, Aegir Sonus, Apocryphus, Halgrath, and Northumbria, featuring a number of collaborations with other artists, and was used with permission from their label, Cryochamber. Check out their website at cryochamber.bandcamp.com or their YouTube channel for some moody dark ambient. We would like to give massive thanks to our champions of the Red Moon, Martin Hoyschelbear, Nastasha Rollerson, Simon Cooper, David, Julia, Camilla, Bob Lange, Julian, Cameron, Xavier, and Anchon for their generous support. And we would of course also like to thank all of our other patrons. Without your support, the show would not be possible. If you want to support our work, please check us out on Patreon. You can get access to bonus campaigns for Call of Divinity Lost and Coriolis there, as well as get early and raw access to all of our recordings. You can also hear your name read on the show as the champion of the Red Moon, as well as play Cult with us. Most importantly, that support is what keeps the show going, so do check us out there. Thank you again for listening, and remember, Skaven are definitely not real.